गुरुर्देव महेश्वर गुरु साक्षात परब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। ओम सहना भवतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति।
The meaning of that is really funny. May we attain vigor together. May we not cavil at each other.
Fight with each other. That's what it means. I believe it is quite a common feature in those days.
Not only in those days.
No. We usually think that only we have been wicked and vicious, and all our ancestors were holy, holy. I don't think any country, any community, any race, any time, any period of time, any place in the world is unique in any respect. We are talking about, you know, the communal problems in the religious denominations, Hindu, Muslim, that sort of thing. I was taken to a small, it's almost an island of Amsterdam, somewhere around there. It's a little island. And there I believe there are two churches, deadly opposed to each other. Yeah?
Sure. I don't know exactly what that is. There must be a case there.
The people there wore a very peculiar dress. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I forgot what it was. Yeah. We went on a sort of trip around Amsterdam and so on, Hoorn. We went to Hoorn. And then from there we drove further on, not to Rotterdam. And there, it had a nice name, Monken.
Monnikendam?
Somewhere near there. Yeah. Monnikendam. He said somewhere near there.
Yeah.
A little small community.
Yeah.
They said they would do anything. All this has been there. And bluffing also has been there. I've forgotten the details. Somebody had vowed that he would teach only Brahmins, not others. And a young man who was not a Brahmin, he was a warrior, belonged to the warrior clan, Kshatriya. He wanted to learn, so he went. And he learned all the Vedas from the master. And then by some accident, the master discovered that he was not a Brahmin. He said, "Oh, what I taught you will be of no use to you." Vomited. We don't know what all these words and expressions mean. And it said he threw up everything, whatever he had learned. There is another. We were talking about the Guru yesterday. There is another story, very interesting story. I'll narrate this just for entertainment purposes. This, where is Rick? The most famous teacher in warfare in the Mahabharata time was called Drona. He was the one who taught all these princes how to fight. The princes who formed the two contending forces, both the combatants. And when they were still schooling, he had a favorite disciple, Arjuna, the student, the disciple in the Bhagavad Gita. He was his favorite. And it seems once the master and his favorite pupil They were hiding in the forest, and the master was teaching him very special techniques, how to do all sorts of crazy things. And he taught him something which he vowed he had not taught anyone else. If you are engaged in something, in meditating, in spying, or doing something where you want absolute peace and quiet, and if a dog barked, you don't want to kill the dog, but you don't want the dog to make any noise. You cannot drive, there's no chance of your driving it away. He had taught him a trick by which he could shoot a few arrows so that the dog's mouth is sealed. Couldn't bark anymore. Right. All this was going on. And in that forest, there was a hunter who had heard about the great master, and somehow he discovered this man, the old man, in the forest. And as soon as he saw him, he ran and fell at his feet. "Master, you must teach me." And he said, "Who are you?" "I am a hunter." "Hunter, get up. I teach only princes. I teach only princes and kings and that sort of thing, not you." Out. And he pleaded and he pleaded and he pleaded and he pleaded till, you were saying it during lunch, when you go on asking somebody the same question over and over again, you get nearly mad. So that man, instead of the question, they becoming mad. The questioner became demented. "Please, please, won't you, please, won't you, got up. He not even waiting for an answer, he got up and ran home. And there was some clay outside. And he was still saying, "Please, won't you, please, won't you, please, won't you, please, won't you." He started molding that clay into a form. It took the form of this great master. And asked this clay model, "Please, won't you, please, won't you." And the clay model said, "Yes, come on. Bring your bow and arrow, I'll teach you." And for a few days he learned from that the guru. The guru being the clay model. All sorts of fantastic things he learned from the guru. And one day a dog, while he was still learning, a dog barked. The guru told him what to do. The clay model guru. And he discharged a few arrows and the dog's mouth was sealed. The dog came running to where the original, the breathing guru was teaching the breathing disciple. When Arjuna saw that, he was horrified. He said, "My God, you told me that you have taught this only to me and not to nobody else, and here it is. Drona said, "All right, let's see who done it." So they followed the dog, and the dog led him to the hut of this hunter. And the hunter was probably gazing outside. He had finished his day's lesson. He was gazing outside. He saw the master coming there. He ran, he fell at his feet, master. And the master asked him, "Who did it?" "I did it." "What did you know?" "Oh, you taught me, master." And they had in the meantime seen the clay model. The last bit sounds a bit cruel. Still, I'll say it. "What about fees? My fees?" And he said, "Master, anything you want. Give me your right thumb," he says. Without the right thumb, he couldn't use his talent anymore. So even the clay master is a master still. The same spirit is there everywhere. Okay. If I have the ability to learn, anything can be my master. It sounds cold and silly, but then that master is here. Swami Shivananda is here. That's what I don't know. In what way was the Drona in that clay model? A heavy shower of rain, and then the Drona would have would have melted away. But so far as he was concerned, Drona was there. And since both the spirit, the consciousness and the energy that form this, these are everywhere, one who is able to dive into that depth is able to communicate. So once again, the ball is in the disciples' court. If I am a true disciple, I will find the master. And the master will be there, wherever the need is there.
Does it have to be kind of a desperate need? Does that help?
Desperate is a bad word, but I understand the spirit, yes. It is said that Ramakrishna once was asked the same question. Why doesn't God appear to me? He said, you don't want him. No, I do. So if you want him, really want him, you'll get. It's not difficult at all. God is omnipresent and he doesn't lose anything by just appearing to you. That's so easy, simple. You don't want him. Right. Then this argument stopped after some time. Then they were both going for a bath, and you know, as I said, mentioned the other day, in India we plunge into the river to bathe. And they both got into the Ganges and they were plunging up and down, in and out. And once when Ramakrishna saw that both of them were in, he got hold of that fellow's throat, kept it inside in the water till the grip told him that he couldn't make it anymore. And then he let him go. What are you trying to kill me for? I'll explain to you later. When your head was down under, what were you thinking of? I said, nothing, I just wanted to get out. That's it. Can you desire God with that intensity? Some obstruction is there, that must go. The abstraction is within me, in me, and the abstraction is the me. If that goes, I am anything is possible. For those who are new, what do we do to meditate? We are discussing this, how to meditate, and she was suggesting that we meditate upon a word. We cannot meditate upon a word. We are sitting on a chair, we can meditate on a chair or on a cushion. We cannot write a word and sit on top of it. And then we came to the other beautiful expression, reflection. You can take a word and reflect it. Or you can take a thought and reflect. And let it be reflected within. That is, to reflect. To reflect is to reflect, nothing more. But in order to reflect that thought or that word, what is needed? What do you need in order to reflect your face?
A mirror.
Yeah? And not only that, there are a few qualifications for that mirror. Number one, it should be clear mirror, clean, and it shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be covered with dust or clothes. It should be clear, clean.
Shouldn't be cracked.
Shouldn't be cracked and distorted. Yes. Yeah, cracked brain. Yes, right. Cracked or distorted.
But it has to be in upright so that you can see the mirror and your reflection.
It has to be upright.
Yes, but also there must be enough light.
Enough light, yes, right. Inside, outside, good. Have you ever tried to do your hair while traveling as a passenger on a bumpy road?
It must be quiet.
Must be quiet. Must be steady. When the mirror is steady, when there is when it is not distorted, when it is clean.
And must it be facing the right direction?
Right direction. You must face the. It must be facing your direction, right? The direction of the truth or the substance. And there must be enough light to be able to see it. If all these conditions are there, the reflection is perfect. So can I hold a mantra, a word? A word is a mantra. Mantra is a word. Can I hold that word, that mantra, so that it is reflected in that manner? Can I? You just drop that word. Om. And see if whatever there is in you, one doesn't know. You can call it mind, you can call it intelligence, you can call it chitta, you can call it what you like. That's not important. Because we really don't know what it is. Can that reflect the mantra? And as you watch the reflection, you become aware of which one of these conditions is not being observed. If it is hazy, it's dirty, the mirror is dirty.
Then you will feel that you will then become aware of that?
No, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you naturally do something to cleanse the mirror. Probably you do some pranayama, stand upside down for a few minutes. Then if it is distorted, the reflection is distorted. Oh, this is oriental stuff, drop it, that is distortion, cracked, something is cracked. We are not interested in oriental, occidental, accidental. We are merely saying, can this be reflected in the mirror? You hold anything in front of a mirror, it will reflect. It will reflect her face as easily as it will reflect my face. There's no prejudice at all. So can the mind reflect that way? When it is cracked, it's cracked. You'll hear two or three things at the same time. That means it's cracked. Isn't it? And or sometimes you see the reflection for a couple of seconds and then it's gone, then it comes back, it goes away, comes back, goes away. That means it's unsteady. That's all we do. When we practice what we call meditation in the morning, the first few minutes are always devoted to listening to the breathing, and that's a simple and easy trick of turning the mind upon itself. Whereas normally I hear that, I hear the water flowing into the lake. Sometimes you can even hear the hoot, the ferry, and the birds. And then you that turns the mind upon itself. At that moment you introduce this mantra into it, synchronized with the breathing, so that it becomes easy. Again, as I was telling this girl about walking, it becomes easy. When a rhythm is established, half the battle is won. That's you don't battle to keep it there. So if a rhythm is established with the help of the breath, synchronizing the mantra with the breath, that part is taken care of. Then for the rest of the time, I am merely watching to see, is the mantra clear? If it is not clear, the mind is dirty. or sleepy, drowsy. It's clear. Why is it it is not steady? Sometimes it is looking here, sometimes it is looking there. Is a distraction distracting me, or am I distracting the distraction? Mm-hmm. I am attracting the distraction, yes? So why am I looking outside? Why shouldn't I look here? And therefore I have often found that this is another great help to begin with. To become aware that you are seated there on the chair. See if you can even become aware of the little inconvenience. The chair is not molded to help me sit like this. Yeah? So I can feel my left ankle suspended. My toes are touching the edge of the chair, the ankle is suspended, and then so on. Can I become clearly aware of it? Can I become clearly aware that the back is in contact with the back of the chair? If you do that, you find that the mind doesn't wander away anymore. I am here. The body is here, therefore it's doing better. The mind is here too. This I discover very soon, that it's useless for the mind to be in London if the body is here. It is just as well that both of them are here at the same time. Makes things easy. Right? Your body can be here and your mind can be in Calgary. But you realize it's useless. You can do nothing there without the body being there. So since the body is here, it's just as well that the mind also is here. What? Where's the sense in letting it run away? So that's the first step. Then as I listen to the breathing, I realize I'm doing that. I'm breathing. For the present, I'm doing nothing else. Right? I'm not moving. The body is sitting, of course, but nothing else is happening. So what is the action being performed? Breathing. So I become aware of that. Since the body is breathing, the mind also might just as well attend to that instead of thinking of something else, doing something else. And then it becomes easy to slip the mantra in. That's all. The rest of the time you merely watch the reflection, how well the mantra is reflected.
I guess those really are the only two difficulties, either going to sleep or the mind wandering all over the place.
The mind does not want, the attention wanders, yes.
Well, thoughts going.
One is not able to really suggest, do thoughts go away? What goes away?
Well, thoughts come and go, at least in my mind.
That's all right. What do we think? There are a couple of flies here, they come and go. What was that?
Well, that's the unsteadiness. At least that's how I've understood it. To quiet the mind means not to have those thoughts.
I don't have those thoughts.
The thoughts are there.
Let them be there. No, that's serious. Let them be there. What does it matter to me?
Just detach.
No. Why must I be attached at all? I am not attached. Why must I be detached?
Get attached to my thoughts.
No. They are the thoughts that you are thinking.
And that's what has to go. The other thoughts.
The other thoughts are like the flies. They come and they go.
And what do you do, just observe them or just don't pay attention?
Not paying attention is paying attention. there's a funny little story told of a young boy had a peculiar illness, and he had seen all sorts of physicians. Nobody could help him. And eventually they took him to one of those shaman, medicine men. You know what are called medicine? Which doctor?
Shaman.
And he gave him some kind of a brew. And he said, this will fix you. Only one dose, it will fix you. And this young boy was thrilled. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Hey, welcome. Come here. There's only one regulation, one condition. If you think of a monkey while drinking this, the medicine will be ineffective.
Impossible.
He made it impossible. Who is going to think of a monkey here? But that was his regulation. The conditions attendant upon the mantra. It's there in the text. That's it. So every time he lifted the glass, what did the physician say? I shouldn't drink any monkey. It is bringing... A monkey thought might come, it goes. If some other thought comes, it goes. So one has to distinguish between the thoughts, I think, and the thoughts that merely happen. Mm-hmm. Again, to carry on that lady's this reflection, when you hold your mirror now, right now, you don't see only your face, you see something else, the background. Mm-hmm. Right? When you are standing in front of the mirror and doing your hair, can you visualize standing in front of the mirror and doing your hair? Have you ever noticed that in the background there is a door? Practically never. But you notice something. Supposing your husband stands there, you want to turn down a turn and see. So, that is what is called interest. The mind is interested. You know what the word interest means? Sorry, my dear teacher. You are in trouble. Inter means inside. S means is. So, as a matter of fact, interested in is redundant. That in is not necessary. The in is there already.
Yes.
Interested means you are in it.
Yes.
So, what kind of thought takes you for a ride? The thought in which you are interested. You are in it. So you go away. If you are not interested, nothing on earth will distract you.
So how are you going to kick those out?
What? Ankara? Why must I keep them out? They are out. I am in this mantra. The only thing I want to do is to repeat this mantra. Am I serious about it? Am I sincere? Am I honest? Then I'm here. Why must I bother about that chair which is empty? Or the other chairs that are here around? I'm here, I'm in this chair. Quite comfortable there. Are you pushing the other chairs out? No. Please, follow this.
Yes.
Are you pushing the other chairs out?
No.
No. Are you allowing them to stay there?
Yeah.
No. So who are you to allow these chairs to stay, to remain here? You have nothing to do with them. That is your chair, sit there comfortably as you wish. With the other furniture here, you have nothing to do. You have been here for two days, you have never asked me why this chart is here. Isn't it funny?
I wasn't interested.
That's it. Probably vaguely noticed it, yes?
I am actually interested in it, but I...
Very point out.
Everything is
done. That's it. Vaguely notice that the... some games we all can play. Hmm? Like, for instance, you stay in a room for 10 or 15 days in a hotel, in a place like this. You don't know how many rooms are, how many windows there are in your room. So you don't bother about it. You're not interested in it. You don't take any notice of it. I know of people.